Hi, this is Ray Alder from Fate's Warning, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives.
Hi, everyone. Rodrigo Altaf here from Sonic Perspectives. Also on the line with me, another prominent contributor of Sonic Perspectives, Mr. Gonzalo Pozo. Gonzo, how are you?
It is another hot day in Texas, man, and I am not enjoying it. Other than that, life is grand. Good to talk to you. Well, today, Rod and I have the pleasure and privilege of chatting with a guy who's not only a metal vocal legend, he's also a great dude. He's a great friend. He's a fellow native San Antonian. Ray Alder of Fate's Warning. Welcome to Sonic Perspectives.
Hola. What's up, man?
Ray, so first of all, tell us about the new album, the new live one, Live Over Europe.
Well, it's a long one.
Come on, man. Is that all you got?
17 or something. Yeah, pretty much. It was a while back already, I'll tell you that. But no, I mean, it's fine. It's it was a lot of fun making, and, you know, we kind of, after 20 years, decided to do another live album since, you know, we had a lot of new material that we've come up with over the last 20 years, and figured it'd be fun to do a short tour of Europe and some of our favorite places, you know, some off the beaten path, some more big cities and stuff, you know, and kind of just give back a little bit to the fans that have given us so much over the years. You know, it was fun. It was a lot of work, but it was great in the end. It was like five in a row, day off, five in a row, and every night was around 2 hours, except for the last night, which was like, you know, 2 hours and 40 minutes, which is Athens, where we played everything that we knew, which isn't an easy feat for my old ass, but it was cool, man. It was cool. We had a good time.
Yeah, I can imagine it must be hard for you playing for and singing for 2 hours and 40 minutes. One question I have is the way it's released and recorded, Iron Maiden did that in a couple of their releases as well. You include tracks recorded in different cities as opposed to not just one show. Tell us a bit about that decision.
So, you know, it was something to like to give back to the fans, more or less, you know, like, and again, play our favorite cities, some of our favorite cities, you know. And instead of just doing one long concert, inviting everyone to that, we figured we'd make a tour out of it and just record all, you know, different parts in different cities. And it was easy. It was better that way for us, too, because that way we could pick and choose, you know, because we did most of the same songs in every city. We could pick and choose better performances from each city, you know what I mean? And then there's, you know, so there's no overdubs or anything. I mean, of course, we had to fix a couple of little things, but basically we just comped from one show to another. You know what I'm talking about, you know? Since everything's to a click, we can take a part from this city and put it in this city and then things like that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and how demanding was it to listen to hours and hours and similar versions of the same song for you guys?
We're used to it at this point. You know, you kind of go on autopilot after a while, you know. But you know, it's still, after all these years, it's playing live is the best part of being in a band to me. It really is. I always have a great time. It's rare that I'm ever bored on stage. You know, I can't speak for the other guys, but for me, it's still an honor to be able to be able to tour and play in front of people, you know, after all this time. It's still an accomplishment, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I gotta say, you guys sound very cohesive. I mean, it's recorded in different cities, of course, but there's a unity to the sound when you listen to the whole thing, the whole album. Right? Aside from you referring to a different city in each track, you know, there's a similarity in the sound of each recording.
Yeah, but again, after playing all those songs for so many years, you know, we're, you know, again, all the guys in the band are super professional, and no one really goes astray. Everyone pretty much does this, you know, they know what they're supposed to do, and as opposed to throwing some new little chop in the middle of a song, you know what I mean? We kind of stick to the original version, and that's you know, it's something we strive for. I think when you go see a live band, when they're doing something different with the song, kind of throws you off, you know, because I want to hear the song, you know, I don't want to hear a medley or something, I want to hear the song, you know, so we stick to the original pretty much.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned a moment ago that Live Over Europe is your first live album in almost 20 years. During that time, Fate's Warning has reinvented its sound again. And you guys and you guys have fresh blood in the band. I mean, Bobby's been in the band for like almost 10 years now, but he's only got two albums under his belt. Mike is still pretty new to the band. To honor that reinvention of the sound, you guys reinterpreted some of the mellower spacier material from like Apsog and Disconnected and X. And I have to say that these reinterpretations sound fantastic.
And thanks, man. Thanks.
Yeah, of course.
I'll say it's basically it's a means to an end. There's a reason why we had to change, because we don't have keyboards, we don't have tapes behind us playing the different parts. So we obviously had to reconfigure so that it could be played live, things like that. So, as far as keeping true to the music, that's, like I said, we try to do our best. But, we're not going to have a keyboard player tour around with us or something to play for 3 minutes. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So, we have to do something and change it around that way. And a lot of the times, to me, it sounds actually really, really, a little cooler than the original, but for us, again, it's the musicians have to come up with something that makes sense to everybody,
and especially
us.
Yeah, and I think that's a more honest way to approach it. Like, you just confirmed my suspicion. Like, one of the comments that I was going to make was that I don't hear any use of like backing tracks or sequences or any of that. So there's
It's just a 5-piece band. That's it. We don't add anything else. We'll have like an intro tape or something like that, but that's it. Nothing that goes with the music at all. We could, but why?
Yeah, that is such a breath of fresh air, because like it seems like almost every other band uses backing tracks and like piped in backing vocals and all that, and like to see like five guys just tearing it apart on stage is such a it's almost like a luxury these days, and it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, man, we're analog. That's just how it is. It's just, we're old school.
Yeah, and you know what? And it kind of reminds me of that story that you told me like way back about seeing Crimson Glory at Sneakers. Do you remember that?
Holy shit!
Tell us about that.
I just remember I was looking around like, where's this all coming from? There's like a quiet going on here or something. I heard like 20 voices and then in the orchestra and like, oh, what the fuck? It was the craziest thing. Yeah, I remember that big time. It was the weirdest thing ever. There's a lot of bands that do that still, but more power to them. If that's what they're into, that's what they're into. If that's what they feel they need, then that's fine. But for us, we want to, we got to keep it real, as a kid said. I don't know if anyone says that anymore, but.
Hey, man, bravo for that, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And you also have Jens Bogren producing this one again, after producing Theories of Flight. You went from being self-produced to using Jens in the recent releases, right?
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. I will say the albums are pretty much self-produced, but Jens is he mixes the albums. I'll say that. I'm not trying to correct you, but I guess that's the thing, because we all pretty much self-produce everything, but he does mix the albums and he does a great job at it. And we love the sound of Theories. Because once I finished my vocals and Bobby finished, everyone finishes their parts, everything kind of, goes to Jim. And then from Jim, it goes to Jens. And Jens and Jim are the ones that deal with everything at that point. So I didn't hear the album until it was finished. I didn't hear the final product until it was over. And, Jim sent me a file and he said, here you go. Here's the new album. And I think maybe there was one or two things that, listen to this. What do you think of this? What do you, can you, do you want, do you hear something different kind of thing? But other than that, it was more or less, here it is. This is it. And I put it on and that my first listen was like, it's a little weird. And then, the second listen, like, I fucking love it. I love what he did with the mix. I love how it's sort of compressed and not squashed, but it has a compressed sound to it. And I love what he did with the drums and everything else, even the vocals, is beautiful. He's a great job. So he was an obvious choice for the live album. We figured he would give it a cool sound, and he did. I'm super happy with the live album, too. I've only heard it once, so. I mean, I'm not going to sit here for 2.5 hours and listen to my own album. No one has that much time more than once, Once is enough.
Well, I'll reassure you that it does sound fantastic, and in a lot of ways, it kind of reminds me of Slayer's South of Heaven, because, like, yeah, that was an in-studio album, but it sounds so live. And like,
was it really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, to me, it sounds like it's four guys jamming in a, you know, in a room.
Yeah.
And like with your live album Live Over Europe, I know it's live, but the production on it is so solid. Everything sounds so distinct. Everything sounds so clear that it may as well be a studio recording. But I say that in the best possible way. Like,
no, I understand. It doesn't sound doctored. I wish people knew, you know, you'd just hear it before it was mixed. I mean, it's everything came to me dry, you know, and like, you know, what do you think? Because Jim would comp the vocals down for me, and he was doing this for everybody. And I felt sorry for him because he's going through 10 shows, picking the best performance of every person and putting that together. Wow. You know, and so it's live. There's no fixes, really. It's just comping, you know, and I guess that's still live to me. It's, you know, it's not one whole concert, one live concert. It's a bunch of concerts stuck together. But, you know, what a pain in the ass, you know, for him to do all that. It took him weeks and weeks to put it all together. And you listen to everything, and it's there. It's all analog. It's just us on stage live. And, you know, and then Jens puts it together and adds effects and compressors and limiters and whatever else he does to the thing. And it sounded that way. So I'm super happy with it. It actually sounds like what you think a concert would sound like, what I think a concert would sound like if were you to be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, instead of an overly produced live album, to me it sounds like you're there, you know, just turn it up, close your eyes.
It sounds like that rare show where the sound actually sounds good from the audience side.
Yeah, and he did a great job with it. He really did, sonically. It's genius.
I'm going to take a little sidetrack here. I was wondering if you would be able to talk about the split with Redemption.
I mean, there's really not much to talk about, you know, it's just... I'm like was really busy with Fates, and you know we were touring a lot and writing a new album, and I just didn't really have the time, and it was just moving in different directions, you know. I mean, Nick wanted to keep going, and he wanted us to tour and all this, and I just couldn't find myself with, you know, to give myself enough time to do something like that. And I mean, that's basically it. You know, we discussed it, and Nick, I can say Nick wasn't really very happy about it, you know, because they just signed with Metal Blade. And you know, I was like, you know, I'm sorry, dude, I don't mean to leave you in a bind, you know, but that's basically it. There's really nothing else to it, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah, is there an update on Bernie's health? Is he doing okay?
I haven't heard from Bernie in quite a while, actually, to be honest. So last I heard, he was doing better. He's up walking around. And,
really?
Yeah, I don't think he's playing anymore, but maybe he's starting to play again, but I'm not sure.
I hope so. He's an incredible talent.
Yeah. It's just been a long time. I need to call him. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, please send him, like, the warmest regards from, like, you know, on behalf of all the fans, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
Because we're out here pulling for him.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I will. Damn it. I'm going to call him this week. This weekend I'll call.
So you have finally grown up and gotten married.
Yeah. Crazy,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. What's that like?
I don't know. It's different. Definitely different. You know, you live your whole life basically alone doing what you want. Not like that anymore. You know? Decisions aren't exactly just yours anymore. It's definitely different, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying life. You know, it's different here, living in a different country for sure. You know, like I told you earlier, like I miss, you know, like I'm not a fat ass or anything, and I miss food. You know, I miss the options that were available in LA or in Texas or whatever, you know, like in San Antonio when I was there in August. It's like, you know, there's just thousands of places to eat, just all these crazy places to eat. And I went with Bobby to some Mexican restaurant, a military drive. I don't forget the name of it. And, you know, I just had, you know, I had chicken enchiladas with rice and refried beans, and it was a genius. It was like so good. Like, this is what I remember. You know, you just can't get shit like that here.
Really?
You know,
it's now Texas
you
home cooking.
You just can't. You just can't get it. You know, there's a Mexican place we go to, but it's more like Oaxacan. You know, like weird.
Hey, man. All the moles.
Yeah, there's one mole they have, and it's good. But you know, but I miss Tex-Mex, man. Yeah. I miss you know, carne asada burrito and just the normal shit. Rice and beans isn't like a thing here,
really,
at all.
Huh? Yeah.
Wow.
What
you
about
can't even like get a side of it? It just doesn't exist.
What about breakfast tacos? Are those a thing internationally, or is that just South Texas?
No, it is in my house.
It. Of course.
I mean, I make the old school mom, you know, potato and egg breakfast tacos.
Morale.
And, you know, now there's you can't get chorizo here. You know, here chorizo, what's considered chorizo is sausage. That's what they call chorizo. But it's like a hard sausage that, you know, with like a skin on it that you eat as a tapa.
Right.
You know, that's chorizo here. It's not the greasy yellow shit you can get there, which I miss. God, I miss chorizo.
You know,
just shit like that. Food, you know, like a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, like a real pizza. Like a real pizza, you know? The one that's like $30. You know, but it's like the crust is genius and, you know, something like that. Here you have like Carlos pizza or something like that. It's like, you know, let me just tell you this.
Uh-huh.
Corn doesn't belong on a pizza, okay?
Corn does not
belong on a pizza.
Okay.
It's just the weirdest thing to me. You have pizzas here with corn and shit on it, and I don't know what else they put on it, but it's just weird. It's not the same. It's not even like Domino's or Papa John's, which I don't like either, but it's just weird pizza. It's just not the same.
I had pizza
in Uruguay. And pizza in Uruguay is like, that's another. What is this?
Like, what's pizza in Uruguay? What's that like?
I can't even describe it, dude. It's just odd. It's just, it's bread. It's a kind of bread with some sauce on it, maybe. And I don't know. I can't describe it. Maybe I have a picture of it. But
I don't know,
just,
man. I've seen people put asparagus on their pizza. So, like, this whole controversy about pineapple on pizza doesn't even faze me.
Yeah, that I've seen a long time ago, but just, you know, I don't know, it's just weird. Rocket in Greece, you get it, it's called rocket, but it's arugula. But the first time you ever see it, like, you have some rocket on your pizza, like, the fuck did you say to me? What? What are you talking about? You know, rocket, it's the funniest thing. I think it's in Germany, too, actually, but it's arugula. But anyway, enough about food, you know, just things like that. It's different culture shock and shit. But, you know, I'm used to it now. But as soon as I get back in the States, the first thing I do is, like, run to somewhere I know. Not Burger. They have Burger King and McDonald's and all that shit here, but I don't really go there. So.
You know, Ray, if it's any consolation, I also moved from Brazil to Toronto last year, and the food is the last thing you adapt to when you move to a different country.
Yeah.
It's horrible, you know?
Yeah. But you don't have, like, fast food in – where were you in Brazil? Where were you?
In Rio.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, fast food there is different than fast food everywhere else, right?
Very much so, yeah.
So
rice and beans that you just said, it's everywhere. You know, it's the traditional, like, lunch is rice, beans, and something else, you know, every day.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, that's it. Just things like that. You know, little things like that are what I miss, you know, like, just shit like that. And, you know, I miss my Mustang. It's another thing.
And that's another thing that I was going to ask you about. So now that you've talked about how much you, how well you've adapted to the culinary scene in Spain, how's the sports car culture over there?
There is none. Everyone drives little diesel hatchbacks. Everyone, I've never seen anything like it. Everyone in Spain drives diesels.
Really?
Diesels.
Like little Fiats and stuff, right?
Super bad for the environment. I'm sorry?
Like little Fiats and stuff, right?
Yeah, dude, there's no car culture here, really. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I mean, coming from L.A. and San Antonio, where everybody has a fucking muscle car or a pickup in San Antonio, you know, and say, here, it's just a car. A car is just, it's an object that gets you from A to B and burns diesel. It sounds like you're shaking a bunch of screws inside a can. That's just what they sound like to me. It's like everybody has a fucking diesel here, you know. And I sold my car when I came here, and I, you know, every now and then I can hear, like, and I'll turn and I'll see like a Mustang. Like I can hear it a mile away. I'm like, oh my God, there's a V8. There's a V8 gas burning car. And I'm fascinated by it. How crazy is that? You know, like, it's bizarre. It's like even the BMWs and Mercedes here are diesel. Huh. I saw a Porsche Panamera that's diesel, a Porsche, why are you going to buy a Porsche diesel?
Well, I haven't seen an electric Porsche yet, so it doesn't seem too far a stretch.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, that can't be right. And I went Google it and everything. Like, there's a diesel Porsche. But they're outlawing them. I think in 5 years now or 6 years, they're going to outlaw the sale of diesel because it's just bad for the environment. You know,
that's a lot of cars that people are going to have to replace.
Well, they're just not going to sell them anymore.
Oh, okay. Diesel fuel itself will still be available.
Yeah, diesel fuel and the diesel cars will be available, but they're what's the word I'm looking for? They're getting rid of them.
They're phasing them out.
Thank you. They're phasing out diesel. So, you know, and it's not that much cheaper than gas. It really isn't. I think everyone here is just tricked to think that diesel is cheaper and better. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I like to go from one point to the other a little quicker than the other person. You know what I mean? I miss my car.
Do you ever want to shake your fist in the air and shout joder?
Yeah, I do it all the time. Probably 10 times a day.
You're fitting in quite well then.
Yeah. Puto madre. We say all that around here.
Puto madre.
Ili posha. That's another way. Ili posha. Well, my wife is from Uruguay, so their double L's aren't silent. It's a sh sound.
Interesting.
So it's like calle is cache.
Yeah.
Ilipocha, ilipoya, asshole, you know, like I never knew that word till I moved here. But she says it all the time when she's in a car. So I hear that. Anyway.
Hey, so like there was here's a little update on the scene in here in San Antonio. There's a place that opened up recently near the zoo called the South Texas Museum of Popular Culture. Huh. And they did about a month or month and a half long display on the glory days of San Antonio metal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And there was a prominent display of some band called Cyrus. You know anything about them?
Yeah. Holy shit, how funny.
Yeah.
With Mike singing or with me singing?
It was with Mike. I didn't, you know, you weren't in there. So well, was that before or after you that they became more active?
Mike was before me.
Okay.
Those sons of bitches.
Yep. But
no, the not Cyrus, the museum. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
No, I think the band themselves provided all the materials. I mean, like there were old press releases and old press photos and live photos and stuff of like bunch of other bands, like Watchtower, of course, and
all the
other big ones.
That's and, cool. Like, with Juggernaut and San Antonio Slayer,
Metallus, and all that stuff. And
SA Slayer, man.
Man.
Oh, what was the other one? The other one. What was that song?
Carrion.
I wanna rock you. What was that song? Carrion. Yeah, but the other one. What was that? They had the singer's voice is really high. The guitar player's dad was like a famous musician. I'll think of their name.
It's not ringing a bell right now.
Yeah. All right. But they were on the radio a lot. Joe Anthony used to play them all the time.
Wow. Yeah, that was before my time, dude.
Yeah.
But there was – so when they were closing out the exhibit, they did this commemorative concert, and it was like an all-star lineup that closed out the show. On guitar was Art Villarreal from S.A. Slayer.
Mm.
On vocals, there were three guys, James Rivera from Hellstar. Jason
Houston.
He's from Houston, but but Jason was also in town.
Okay.
Jason McMaster from Watchtower. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Mike Solis from Metallus. Mm-hmm. And on drums was some guy named Bobby Jarzombek.
Really? He didn't tell me anything about that.
Well, you're going to have to pick his brain then.
Some bitch. I haven't talked to him in a few weeks, but it's all right, buddy. Stepped in my dog's tail.
And every now and then I see your brother Rob. Is he still active in music? I've only seen him play drums once.
Yeah, I don't think so. No. He's been working a lot. I don't know. He still hangs out with Rocky. I know that.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know if I don't think he really plays drums anymore.
That's a shame. He's good.
Yeah. He had fun. He had a good time.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else, you know, like, it'd be fun to go out and just play and get drunk. Nice.
Ray, picking up from Gonzo, I mean, you just spoke about your life there in Madrid, but you live there in Spain. Joey lives in California. Jim lives in Connecticut. Bobby lives in San Antonio. How do you guys manage to get together and record stuff and, you know, still play and do rehearsals and stuff? Is it challenging for you guys?
I mean, we're used to it. After all this time, we're really used to it. I mean, but Jim actually lives in New Hampshire, further up north. But, we're used to it. We've been doing this for so long. You know, we have a system. And, you know, we don't rehearse as a band. You know, as far as writing an album, you know, Jim will do guitars and he'll basically write almost a full entire song with bass and electronic drums and guitars and send that to me. And then I write a melody. And then once we get the melodies down and then we rearrange the song. Rarely does the song stay the same. It changes around with melodies and things. And we move parts around, add parts, take parts out. Once we get that done, then we'll send that to Bobby. And then once Bobby's done, then we send that to Joey. So it's a long process, but that's just how it's been, you know. And as far as like touring, we don't get together. We don't rehearse, you know. And this last time we went to L.A., we went to the States, and we met up in Seattle and just had a long sound check. It's normally what we do. We don't rehearse. Everyone rehearses on their own, does their own practice at home, and then when we get together, everybody knows what they're doing, and, you know.
Concert professionals, man. That's awesome.
So,
like the way that you've rewritten a lot of the melodies in the older songs, you know, to accommodate your voice. I in a lot of ways, I think that sounds even better than they did before.
Oh, thanks, man.
You want to talk real quick about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, in the early 2000s, I started having a lot of problems with my voice. Like I noticed it was happening, so I went to this famous doctor in L.A., and same doctor John Bush actually recommended him to me. And Ozzy goes to him. Like, all these famous singers go to this guy. And I think he's retired now, actually. I haven't seen him in years. But he diagnosed me with a severe case of acid reflux. And, you know, joder, I'm Mexican. So I eat spicy foods. I drink beer. I smoke. I drink alcohol. And basically, he said, stop doing all that. And I said, no. I want to live, you know? And, no, I mean, I did. I calmed down on my diet quite a bit, and I changed a lot of things around. But my voice, it just kept getting worse, you know? It wasn't getting worse. I just couldn't hit the high notes anymore, you know? Like, basically, your vocal cords start to sort of callous, you know? So I just couldn't hit the high notes. So, obviously, there was nothing I could do except, you know, I wasn't going to stop singing, so I just had to start changing things around. And, you know, and for me as a singer, you know, I wasn't doing high notes anymore anyway. I'm not recording high notes, as you know. I was just, you know, yeah. I kind of found my voice already. So the one thing that suffered was the old songs, you know, when I was a kid screaming my brains out like an idiot. And you know, and I honestly didn't like that anymore. You know, I didn't want to sing that high stuff anymore. So in a way, it was a good thing, you know. But you know, it's bad that I can't sing the old stuff. But I like where my voice is now. I think you don't really need to do the high notes. You know, that was a big thing in the 80s and the early 90s. You know, and for me, as a singer, it's not necessary. You know, I'm comfortable where I am now. I'm totally comfortable where I am. But, you know, doing a lot of the old stuff is really challenging and having to move things around. Like, we did Sonic Cries on this album. Mm-hmm. And I think it actually sounds cooler this way than it does from the first one, to be honest with you.
I have to agree with you.
I was, like, really, you know, I wasn't sure of it doing it live. And at rehearsal, I was kind of like, man, it doesn't sound right. But then I listened back to the live recording and, you know, with the mix and everything, I was really happy with it. It sounds really cool. So,
yeah, just the last one. What's the next step for the band? A new album and tour cycle very soon or not?
Well, right now we're taking a break. You know, it's one reason we did the live album is to give the fans something in the interim, you know, kind of some people are doing their own thing right now kind of thing. And, you know, people are working on different things right now. And so there's no
immediate plans.
There's no immediate plans. There's no time frame to write another album. If we will, who knows? I don't know.
But maybe something else is cooking.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Ray, thank you so much for absolutely everything, man. Thank you for all the music. Thank you for being awesome. Yeah, man. You too. Yeah.
And that was our interview with Ray Alder, singer of the legendary prog metal forefathers Fate's Warning. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast in order to get notified of all our interviews, as well as our Talking Perspectives weekly podcast discussion. And, of course, make sure that you like us on the Facebook and on the Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and visit us at our website, www.sonicperspectives.com. Once again, I'm Gonzalo Pozo, and I had the pleasure to share this interview with my friend Rodrigo Altaf. Say hi, dude.
Hey.
And now, we're going to leave you with one of the singles from Fate's Warning's most recent studio album, Theories of Light. This song is called Seven Stars. I'll check you guys soon.